guess where this host of Brain Injury Radio is from. This is Kim Justice pinch hitting tonight for Fantastic Frank, who's out meeting his fame and fortune on the speaker circuit. So tonight, the reason I called the show, what did I call the show? Popsicle Toes and Rudy's Nose, is because here in Middle America, it was, I think, an unseasonable high of 27 degrees today, with the wind coming out of the north, giving us about 11 balmy degrees outside, while at the same time raining ice. So there's a glaze of ice over everything, and the snow just started falling a little while ago. Don't think we're supposed to have much accumulation, but it feels like winter has arrived. And it was just a couple days ago, I was kissing my convertible goodbye, the pony, as I put her in the garage until April. And looks like I made it in the nick of time. So in any case, I'm your normal Wednesday host with Recovery Now. And as I said, we're all wishing Frank good luck out there on his tour. And tonight, I just thought we'd have some open mic action. If you've got something on your mind, we know this is a busy, hectic, stressful time of year, and the depletion of light and color, coupled with sensory overload of the season, can really give us some amplification of our residuals after our brain injury. So if there's something out there that you want to talk about tonight, please do call in, because I can be very flexible. The number is 424-243-9540. Again, that's 424-243-9540. Otherwise, you're going to have to go through untold bad one-liners, some fabulous indie music, and maybe a couple surprises. We'll see. Where is that little telephone here on the in studio? Maybe we'll make some prank phone calls. Actually, we won't. I'm going to treat this just the way that I treat the other show, to some degree, telling you that Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week with a number of different hosts. So if you do come and listen to a show and you don't really care for it or don't think it's up your alley, listen to a couple of other shows on other nights. And, you know, somebody told me in recovery once, if you liked everyone that you ran into, you just hadn't met enough people yet. We have to love everybody, but the other night somebody was talking about support groups, and we were saying that groups have personalities just like individuals do. So I encourage you to check out 3 to 6 shows before you would make any definitive opinion, just as I encourage people to do with support groups as well. Brain Injury Radio has been great for me. As many of you know, who listen to my regular show, I guess, I went 17 years before I ever met another survivor. So I didn't know peer-to-peer support in the brain injury community until I joined Brain Injury Radio. And it's been little over a year, I guess, a year and a few months that I've been hosting once a week. And I have learned more in that time than I did the 17 years before. And it's been a load off my shoulders. At first it wasn't. I was still a little spooked about being honest and telling some of the things that I had gone to such trouble to keep a secret for a long time. But time and time and time again, I heard my story out of the other people all over the world that call into this show. And it made me feel a little more relaxed with who I am, a little more trusting and willing to be open about some of my own challenges and feelings. And it's just really been a great thing. I understand that things like shrinkery, the shrink boneyard, I affectionately call it, and peer group support isn't for everyone. But what I'm for is choice. And that was something that I didn't know that I had for 17 years because I didn't know it was available. The traditional medical community, when I queried them, didn't know. Interestingly, last year, because of this show and some things that were said, and because I had a traveling surgeon at the time, a visiting surgeon, I did go try to hook up with a new go-to neurosurgeon in my town in case I would ever have trouble again. And so just last year, I asked if there was any kind of peer-to-peer support to this neurosurgeon, who's at the university hospital, by the way, so, you know, not a private hospital. And he told me I should check with the gals at the front desk. And I was like, you mean the ones that set the appointments? So the time from 1995 to 2013, I guess it was last year, 2012. Maybe things have changed miraculously for them in the last year, too, as it has for me, but not so sure about that. So tell a friend, and at least they have a choice, whether it's a survivor, a caregiver, a neuroprofessional, or any other interested party. Brain injuries are happening at a rate of, we hear varying figures, but probably around 3.5 million a year around the world and through a variety of ways. Today, listening to the 5 o'clock news after this sheet of ice covered our city, 3 people died today by 4 in the afternoon from car accidents sliding on the ice. And I saw the photo images of that, the video images of that on TV, and thought about the show tonight and all of the stories that I've heard as a host. And, well, I was glad I wasn't driving tonight, that's for sure. But I'm a firm believer in people having a choice. If they want that help and that interaction with other survivors so that there's less isolation, more identification, more complete recovery, I think that there's no magic bullet for recovery, and I think recovery is a way of life, just my opinion, but I feel like we're all recovering a little bit from something just about every day, and so we need to have a toolkit, not just one thing, but a number of things that we try, and when times are particularly stressful, like at the loss of a loved one, or a busy season of the year like this, facing a major medical condition, an abuse situation, anything that would cause you to have to come to grips with letting go of the old me and growing into a new me, I think is going to take a toolbox with lots of tools in it, because there just isn't a one-size-fits-all. Even for us as individuals, there was a time when yoga was one of my tools, and I was doing power yoga relentlessly and obsessively, like I do a lot of other things in my life, for about two and a half years, I guess, 3 or 4 times a week. And I was in good shape, and I was doing meditation along with that, and I'm not quite sure what took me away from that, but I do know that it takes a very long time to get in condition and almost no time at all to get out of condition. And so yoga and meditation weren't my tools anymore. Now, if those were the only ones I had, I'd probably be completely off the rails and not sitting here getting ready to tell you some bad one-liners in a few minutes. But I was fortunate and grateful that I learned the how of any recovery program. I talk a lot in acronyms, and that particular one is honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. Pardon me, getting the burr frog in my throat. I understood that the honesty part was that I wasn't going to be able to do recovery as a lifelong process alone, that everyone I met was going to be my teacher. Some were going to teach me how to do things right, and some were going to exemplify how to do things wrong, at least on the path that I want to be on. And so I had to be honest that I'm not bulletproof, I'm not Wonder Woman, and that I need help and support. And I had to be open-minded to things like support groups, some traditional medical ideas, and some alternative medical ideas, because the combination or the integration of those things were going to be my saving grace. And willingness to take the action. And at that, I will tell you a little bit about how I do my shows. Oh, hi, Les Paul, you're out there. Sorry, I didn't have on my reading glasses. I was just pontificating, but I see. Oh, hi, Jen. For all of you out there listening in Radio Land, we do have a chat room, and you should come in and chat. There's some pretty cool people in there right now. I just couldn't see them because I didn't have on my readers. There you guys are. So what I'll tell you is that this show is a gathering for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. I introduce topics, and survivors or professionals share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. Tune in, stop in, and call in. This is a we recovery program because it is in the we that we find the new me. We focus on the four A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers. Some nights we'll have a featured guest, and others will introduce a topic of recovery, encouraging callers to join in the discussion. And in the second half of the show, we normally have some marvelous indie musicians who have graciously offered to share their talent and their stories in many cases with us. I can see that I'm going to have to make good on my word in the program notes about keeping the tea kettle going, and you probably are going to catch me pretty soon, but my voice keeps leaving me. In any case, I was talking to someone today. Let's see, we have a note. Sign in, log in. That. Because I just lost my track of thought. I should not try to read at the same time. Recovery, process, action. Okay, so I heard somebody talking today about being particularly tense around this time of year. And it was some of the things that I mentioned before. The person's having trouble in a relationship. There's the normal hustle and bustle of the holiday season. And just things not quite going that person's way. So they're having some struggling with their anger issues. And I know that a lot of us who listen to the show, particularly in our earlier days of recovery, and if we haven't had a lot of support tools and sessions, that we might still, when under the gun or faced with undue stress, have anger issues. And one of the things in the action part for me, this is really all about action to change my attitude. I can't think my attitude away, but I can take positive actions that will adjust my attitude. And one of those is to get out of myself. A huge one. There was a time You know, back when I was 35, I thought the world revolved around me. I thought I was bulletproof, and boom, my brain exploded and my life changed forever. That took a little adjustment, gave me a little humility, also sent me through the grief process. And so I had my bout with depression. I had my bout with anger and acceptance. And I don't know that there's really any resolution to this, except that you adapt. Like I say in my fourth A of recovery. But some of the actions I need to take, first of all, in getting out of myself, what do I do to get out of myself? I told this person that the most dangerous place for me to play alone is in my own mind. And that's because I can tell myself all kinds of stories, justifications, rationalizations, negativity, and just some not very good things when left to my own devices and having something on my mind. So I need to take action so that my mind isn't like a little hamster running on a wheel. Me, 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 as it's going around. I need to step off that wheel and go out and help others. Because invariably, whenever I put my hand out to help someone else, without any expectation of a thanks from them or for them to change their behavior or anything at all from them, what it is about is me. I'm taking the action to get out of me and into you. Because maybe, just maybe, the act of me becoming willing to try to help you will help me. And at the very least, whatever my gesture is toward you, it's going to help me to know that I got up off the bench and I tried to be part of my fellows, part of the group, and that I want to be pulling on the same oar with those people, because when I'm feeling weak and vulnerable, those are the people that are going to help me stay on my path of recovery and not relapse into being a rageous maniac or a depressed cry in your beer country music. No offense to that. We'll play some, Jenny, I promise. But we know they're renowned for singing that kind of music. And just go out and do something kind for something, for someone else. Whether they know about it or not really isn't relevant. You know, you might go out and do a good turn for someone and have an expectation that perhaps they might do a good turn back for you. But that's really not a good approach, because it always does come back to you, I promise, but not necessarily where you think it's going to come from. Sometimes I heard Les Paul use an analogy the other night about, I think the Three Musketeers used to do it, or Four Musketeers, or however many of those musketeers there were. But right before they went off, didn't they all put their, maybe it was the Knights of the Round Table, where they all put their hands, they layered their hands on top of each other and then said, yes, and put it up in the air. You know, they were together as a team, and they knew that one musketeer wasn't going to do very much against an army. But four committed musketeers to each other were not only proficient in protecting themselves, but willing to help their partners catch their partners back, that they all came out a lot better in the end. And so I'm liking to think about that. I've kind of been up and down. I talked the other night, I whined a little bit about my seasonal affective disorder, and just now earlier about, you know, it seems like a long time that the pony's going to be away and I'll feel the sun on my face, and I can go down that road. But I was talking about choice earlier too. And there's another choice I can make. Instead of going down that road on this first night and and think, oh my God, it's going to be months of this stuff that's outside right now. It's not safe to walk. It's not safe to drive. You know, snow tires don't do much for ice, and that's what we got going on right now. There's nothing to get traction on. And I get fear, you know, fear my, you know, I got a couple people in my family, as some of the regular listeners know, that aren't quite so steady on their feet. And it's going to be a long winter. Now, if I spend every day letting that fear, real or imaginary, eat my lunch, then I'm going to have a really hard winter. And there's no situation that's difficult or challenging in my life that I can't make worse by my bad attitude and wrong actions. What I need more than anything is to take one day at a time, one moment of a time, if I have to, and always find the good. Look for something good. If I find myself thinking negatively, like I did when I kissed my car goodbye, and it was cold and blustery, and like right now, you look outside, burr! What I had to think about was, well, you know, this is kind of a mixed bag. I remember sitting here the first week in May this year talking about we were calling on having 2 to 4 inches of snow and it was 30 degrees. But that aside, the winter seemed extra long. It wasn't that tough of a winter. And this summer, it didn't get to be. I think we only hit the 100 mark, maybe twice for the summer, and the rest of the summer was really very pleasant. I am allergic like crazy to mosquito bites. They just get big and they itch for a week and they refire, and the humidity, you know, you take all that time to, you know, look girly girl and get your face on and your curls on, and you walk outside and you look like a drowned rat about 3 minutes later, and none of that happened this year. We actually had a really pleasant, though brief, summer, and that's something to be grateful for. I'm very grateful. What was it, only 3 weeks ago now, or maybe even 2 weeks ago, I'd have to check my Facebook, that I went out and sought fall, because I had a feeling. I didn't want to project, but I'm human and I do. You know, I knew in a couple of weeks those leaves would be gone and the ground, the trees would be bare, and what's happening right now outside would be happening. And so instead of thinking about that, I looked around me and saw all of the beautiful fall colors popping off the trees and the bushes. And I took pictures like crazy. And anybody who watches my Facebook probably thought I was nuts. Every day I had these bright, colorful pictures there. And I loved it. Loved it, loved it. It was so pretty, like in spring. I think I still like spring a little bit better because it's the new life. It's the new life emerging, and all that, what seemed in retrospect, that gray, colorless time where things die, you know, vegetation dies, that all of a sudden in the spring it's popping through the ground and the green is coming, and then the color pops all over the landscape, and it just makes me smile and feel happy. And I felt that way when I was out taking pictures of the leaves, and I appreciated every moment of it. Even if everybody else thought I was a little crazy out there clicking away 5 bajillion pictures of these trees, I wanted to hang on to those moments because those moments right then were beautiful. And when I look at those pictures and reflect back on a snow day when I'm stuck at home, I'm going to be able to look at those pictures and in that image recapture the feeling that I had at the moment I took it. One of them, I don't know if some of you caught or if you know what a burning bush is, but it looks like a regular green bush, nothing real impressive, until fall, and then it turns bright red. And I was driving through a neighborhood, and it's a very affluent neighborhood here in town. They have a lot of good landscape, so it's a good place to take pictures. And as I went up a street, I looked, and Gary said, my husband said, look, there's a turkey in that guy's yard. And I looked, and my eyes aren't very good. We got a little closer, and I said, that's not a turkey. That's a peacock, for Pete's sake. And then I just kind of looked at him, and I was like, the heck is a peacock? They don't really, like, fly around affluent neighborhoods in our city. So I'm not sure how that peacock got there. But for those of you that are familiar, when the peacock's wings are closed, they're that iridescent, shiny blue. And the peacock was walking, and when he walked in front of that bright red, fiery bush with his blue, glittering feathers, I snapped that picture. And when I see it, I smile. I smile because that was a gift. Peacocks don't usually run around in the Regency neighborhood, and not ever in front of a burning bush at the moment I'm there to take the picture and get a tickle out of the bright colors and the sharp contrast and forget about me and the problems that are going on in my life. And in fact, not even my life necessarily. I have a couple family members my heart goes out to. I'm powerless on so many levels about what's going on with them. And that's another thing at this time of year. If I was looking for something to be bummed about, that would definitely be one of them. But what I find is that under times of stress or sensory overload, and this isn't meant to be selfish, it's meant to be self-care, that my bucket is full. And I say the serenity prayer a lot. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Some of the things that my family is going through right now, I've tried to do things I can, but if people aren't interested in receiving that, then you have to let go. Or you just alienate the relationship and the person continues the same behavior and you're not able to be there to be supportive. And so I just need to believe that God has been there for me in the most trying and challenging times of my life. And if I believe that with all my heart, I have to believe that God's going to be there for my friends and my family too, and that I'm not God. I'm just a human being, and the best thing I can do is try to remember to use my tools of recovery when I'm under the gun and to try to be a friend. You can't really have any friends unless you know how to be a friend, and sometimes that means just listening. Sometimes it means keeping my mouth shut and not saying the first three bullets that are on my mind, getting ready to fire out of my mouth. And other times, it just means I need quiet time. You know, I was talking today about the sensory overload with somebody, and I said, yeah, you know, what I found out for me, and I learn a little something new every year, is you know, this duty and obligation to make the Norman Rockwell holiday thing, you know, I mean, that was kind of ingrained in me from a young age, and it was only because my family of origin wanted to make that a happy, pleasant, memorable time, and it is, but there was also a lot of pressure on it. And that was, some of you will laugh, I was telling some friends today that I was mock whining. I wasn't really whining. But they were talking a little bit about Thanksgiving coming up. And I said, yeah, it's the weirdest thing. You know, I was single more years than I was married. And when it came to that Thanksgiving dinner thing, nobody ever expected that I would, like, cook. They knew I didn't even care if my house came with that room. I'd rather have a bigger bedroom with a master suite and a hot tub than a kitchen, I think. but can you boil eggs in the hot tub, I wonder? In any case, we were talking about the fact that, you know, back then in all those single years at 25, 35, actually 35, I got married for a few minutes, and, you know, then coming up on 45, that, you know, at that time, I was able to bring the ice or the chips to the holiday, or to pick up a couple pies from the Village Inn. There was no big expectation that me, the single sheep with the revolving seat next to her at the table, was going to be doing anything, you know, like domestic in the kitchen. And then suddenly I get married, and now I've become the green bean queen. For all of you that are familiar with that green bean casserole, I should know it by now because I have to do it every year. And I thought, wow, this is really not fair. I got away with, you know, I got away with the chips and the dip or the ready-made relish tray. And now I've got to actually, like, cook something. And every year I've got to look up that darn green bean recipe off the side of the dried onion can. And every year it gets a little bit harder because my vision gets a little bit worse on that small print. Just read something about Les Paul, but I'll let him on in a minute. I'm going to do two things, and then I'm going to play a pretty cool song. I said that, again, for those of you that are just arriving, popsicle toes is what I got going on right now because it is cold here, 11 degrees, snowing, ice, burr. And Rudy's nose, red. My nose is red. Oh, and the pictures, for those of you that might be looking, we got a new configuration to our studio. And says I am disconnected because another user has logged into the studio. So whoever that is, I hope that you will please get out of the studio while this show is on. I just lost the chat, and I'm hoping to get it back. But maybe use another login. Nope, looks like I've lost the chat for a moment. So I'm going to try here. Sorry, everybody out there in the listening audience, to see if I can get my chat room back. And there we are. Okay, good. That's better. Oh, and I see it was good that I got interrupted and kicked off the air because I got somebody else on the board there. What I'm going to do is read you something real quick, and then we'll start taking some of these calls. But I promised, I've been talking about serious things up to now for those of you who just arrived. But I'm going to start with one of these. And Jenny, this will be your chance tonight to see if you can continue your run of winning the rubber ducky. But let's see. I think I will start with, no, not that one. Okay, well, how about this one? Why did the calf cross the road? Anyone? Type it in the chat. Anyone? Why did the calf cross the road? Okay. The calf crossed, no, calf, K-A-K, C-A-L-F, like little cow, mini cow, calf. Why did the calf cross the road? Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 to get to the other side. Oh, God. When I was looking these up, I was having some fun, probably a lot more fun than you're going to be having hearing them. But I'm going to sprinkle them out a little at a time, and you guys come up with some comparative ones, and I will love to hear them. Something I've been doing the last three weeks, is since this is the 11th month in this country, I see we have a couple UK visitors tonight. If you'll forgive my indulgence for a moment, the holiday may be different, but I think the sentiment is something we have all over the world. But I've been reading something about gratitude. It's the 11th month. Thanksgiving is coming up. And especially when we talk about things like the time of year and the sensory overload and the feelings of isolation and the regrets and some of the negative road that we can go down during holiday time. I also like to try to get my balance. I am a human being. I got those feelings. I have seasonal affective disorder and some things in my life that make me less than joyful. However, I know what I need to do in recovery to not go to a really bad place where I'm going to alienate everyone I know and wind up even more isolated because I'm going to be lonely because people just aren't going to want to be around me, is that one of the tools, and I was talking about some tools earlier in the show if you missed the first few minutes, and just saying there's no one magic bullet, but one of them that I do, I've been talking about the last couple weeks, is for every negative thing that comes up, I've been focusing on gratitude. And this particular reading I'm going to give you is a little bit longer. I've been just shooting you one paragraph, but this came off of a site called Zen Habits, Zenhabits, zenhabits.net. And this is called Why Living a Life of Gratitude Can Make You Happy. If the only prayer you said in your whole life was thank you, that would suffice. And that is by Meister Eckhart. And they write, excuse me, I'm going to have to put on a song, get tea, and then let you guys on, but I do want to get this out, keeping in this tradition, because I think it's important. This is a time where even normies struggle with everything that's going on that's different right now. And so this is something that I feel like is really important to be able to find balance between negative emotion and positive emotion, frankly. Many days I try to humble myself and hold a 2-minute gratitude session. I simply sit or kneel with no distractions, close my eyes, and think about what I'm grateful for and who I'm grateful for. I don't do it every day, but let me tell you, on the days I do it, it makes me very happy. Why should that be? Why should the simple act of thinking about who and what I'm grateful for make such a big difference in my life? Just a few reasons. One, because it reminds you of the positive things in your life. It makes you happy about the people in your life, whether they're loved ones or just a stranger you met who is kind to you in some ways. Because it turns bad things into good things. Having problems at work? Be grateful you have work. Be grateful you have challenges and that life isn't boring. Be grateful that you can learn from those challenges. Be thankful that they make you a stronger person. Because it reminds you of what's important. It's hard to complain about the little things when you give thanks that your children are alive and healthy. It's hard to get stressed out over paying bills when you're grateful there's a roof over your head. Because it reminds you to thank others. I'll talk about this more below, but the simple act of saying thank you to someone can make a big difference in that person's life. Calling them, emailing them, stopping by to say thank you, just taking that minute out of your life to tell them why you are grateful toward them is important to them. People like being appreciated for who they are and what they do. It costs you little, but makes someone else really happy. And making someone else happy will make you happy. What do I give thanks for privately in my little gratitude session? It varies every day. I thank all the readers of this site, and that's his site, zenhabits.net, for the encouragement you have given me, for the donations you've made that have made me that much closer to realizing my dreams, for the criticism you've given that has made me a better person, and for the time you've given me just reading the articles when you have the chance. I thank my loved ones for all they do for me. I thank strangers who've shown me little acts of kindness. I thank God for the life he's given me, people around the world for the things they've done to make the world better. I thank myself for the things I've done. It's important to recognize your own accomplishments, too. How to live a life of gratitude. The thing is, simple acts of gratitude don't cost you much, especially once you get over the initial discomfort some people feel when thanking others. But they can make a huge difference. If you're interested in living a life of gratitude, here are my suggestions. Morning gratitude session. Take 2 to 3 minutes each morning to give thanks to whoever or whatever you're grateful for. You don't have to do anything other than close your eyes and silently give thanks. This one act can make a huge difference. Say thank you. When someone does something nice for you, however small, try to remember to say thank you and really mean it. Call to say thanks. Sometimes you might think about something nice that someone did for you. Perhaps you remember during your gratitude session. When you do, pick up the phone and call the person just to say thanks. Let them know that what they did, you're very grateful for and why you appreciate it. Takes a minute or two. If it's too early to call, make a note to call later. Even better is telling them in person. If you happen to see them or if they're on your route, almost as good as a thank you email. Is a thank you email. Keep it short and sweet. Give thanks for negative things in your life. There's always two ways to look at something. Many times we think of something as negative. It's stressful, harmful, sad, unfortunate, difficult. But that same thing can be looked at in a more positive way. Give thanks for those things is a great way to remind yourself that there is good in just about everything, or two sides of every coin. Problems can be seen as opportunities to grow and to be creative. See the prayer below for more on this. Learn a gratitude prayer. There are many prayers, religious or not, that can remind you to be grateful. Find one that you like and print it out or make it your desktop wallpaper. Here's a religious one, and here's a collection from a multitude of religions. You can find many others on the internet, or be creative and write your own. If you're not religious, make one that doesn't include the concept of God. A good one is below. Let me leave you with a prayer of gratitude that I've always found, well, perfect. Be thankful. Be thankful that you don't already have everything you desire. If you did, what would there be to look forward to? Be thankful when you don't know something gives you the opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times. During those times, you grow. Be thankful for your limitations because they give you opportunities for improvement. Be thankful for each new challenge because it will build your strength and character. Be thankful for your mistakes because they will teach you valuable lessons. Be thankful when you're tired and weary because it means you've made a difference. It's easy to be thankful for the good things. A life of rich fulfillment comes to those who are also thankful for the setbacks. Gratitude can turn a negative into a positive. Find a way to be thankful for your troubles, and they can become your blessings. And that's my contribution on gratitude tonight as we're inching toward Thanksgiving and fighting with the angel on one shoulder and the bleak and blurry, not blurry, blustery devil on the other shoulder. Just remember that there's always two sides, and no matter what we have going on in our life that may be negative, there's always a positive spin, even though it might not be readily evident to us. If we practice faith and hope and courage, it'll come. And if we believe in miracles, we'll certainly see them happen. At least that's been my experience. So, what I'm going to do real quick while I go turn on some tea, and hopefully you guys won't have to listen to the kettle, and then I'll come back and turn on some mics, is I am going to play a song for you. This is one of my newer for some of you out there, musicians. And this one is famous. One of Nashville's most prolific and highly regarded songwriters, Gary Nicholson has worked with most of the country's stalwarts as well as the contemporary generation of stars. He boasts credits on albums by Reba McEntire, the Dixie Chicks, George Jones, Montgomery Gentry, Garth Brooks, the Mavericks, Emmylou Harris, Ringo Starr, Willie Nelson, Bonnie Raitt, Billy Ray Cyrus, Waylon Jennings, Patti Loveless, Tanya Tucker, Conway Twitty, Susie Bogus, Keith Whitley, to name a few. He's also worked in other popular music fields ranging from pop to R&B and blues. His clients include Dave Edmunds, John Mayall, Neil Diamond, and B.B. King. Nicholson began writing after moving to Los Angeles in his teens, joining a band playing Flying Burrito Brothers songs. When Graham Parsons traveled through Texas, he befriended Nicholson, leading to a small publishing deal in Los Angeles. He continued writing for his own band in a vein he described as pre-Eagles country rock. His breakthrough came in 1980 when Mickey Gilley sang Jukebox Argument in the movie Urban Cowboy. Gary has won two Grammys, one in 2001 for Nothing Personal, Best Contemporary Blues Album or Contemporary Blues Recording, and in 2005 for Cost of Living, Best Contemporary Blues Album. I'm going to tell you where you can find him, and if you like him, I hope you'll take the opportunity tonight to thank him for letting me play his music on Brain Injury Radio and share it with you, and that you appreciate him writing this cool song. I think my board froze up, so what I'm going to tell you before I play this song, and then maybe it'll thaw out, is that it's his website I'm going to give you first, and then if you're on Facebook, get ready, because I'll tell you where to find him there, and you can maybe make a nice comment. But on Facebook, obviously, you're already at Facebook.com, so search Gary Nicholson Music, like it's one word, GaryNicholsonMusic, Gary Nicholson Music on Facebook. And if you want to go to his website, it's www.GaryNicholson.com. And I'm not kidding. I think my chat has actually frozen. But in any case, this is something that we can all relate to, kind of what I've been talking about, and just part of our lives, and surprisingly, I think everyone else's life too. I hope that not just my chat room is frozen, but that the music will play too. This is Gary Nicholson, while I go turn on my tea kettle, with a song I'm just loving, Good Days, Bad Days.
Everybody wants to know how I get along in these dark days since you've been gone. Sometimes I'm fine, sometimes I'm dying, stumbling through one step at a time. I have good days, bad days, sunshine and rain. I have good days, bad days, but some past all behind, and I'm all right till sundown again. Then I'm right back where I've always been. I have good days, bad days, sunshine and rain. I have good
You guys able to hear me now, or did I mute? Okay. Good. Thank you, Annie. And Annie, I really am sorry, you guys out there in the chat room, whenever it was that somebody came in and knocked me off the chat or in concert with the weather here, my chat board, I can see you guys, but it is frozen. I cannot type anything back to you, so please don't take it personally if you write me something during a song, and I don't know what I've got to do, like put mittens on my computer or a stocking cap or something, but my chat room is all but dead except being able to read you. But I want to welcome our good UK friend who hasn't been here in quite some time. Annie and I spoke earlier, and I'm so happy you could stop by tonight. Annie, how's it going?
Okay, well, absolutely great. I'm just so thrilled to be able to hear your voice. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Yes, very well.
And then that makes my night. But, yeah, we were talking earlier about some of the things that we go through after we have brain injuries. And of course, a brain injury isn't just, you know, a knock to the frontal lobes or a stroke or Huntington's disease and all of those other things. We can all end up going through really, really similar experiences regardless of whatever the cause is. And one of the things that I spoke to you earlier about was really wanting to talk to you and to your listeners about how vulnerable we can be after brain injury affects us from whatever cause and in whatever way.
Absolutely. And I think that's right in line with what we were talking about, you know, what I'm talking about too. Anytime after a brain injury, we can be vulnerable and taken advantage of, but at times of extreme stress or times of the year like this where, you know, the world, you know, the sensory overload is going crazy and thinking, you know, regrets from the past or fears about the future. There's a lot of things going on this time of year, or even in another time of year, if you're in a trying period in your life, it can take a vulnerable person and make them even more susceptible to being vulnerable. So I think this fits with what we were talking about. And what type of a person or facility or relationship did you run into where you had that experience?
Well, first off, Kim, I mean, it's really interesting because, you know, the things that you've just literally just spoken about are still fairly new concepts to me. I fell on my head 14 years ago, just over 14 years ago. Mm. And just hearing you say those words, I'm thinking, hey, hang on a minute. I'm not quite sure I know about any of this, but I think she's way beyond me. And, yeah, because I'm not really all that au fait with the outside world still. And I've been back in the outside world since April. And, you know, prior to that time, I spent, you know, almost 14 years being very, very isolated. And well, for me, I certainly went through this extreme experience, I guess, of being like a child in an adult body and having to re-experience everything again from brand new, not from some starting point somewhere down the line, but from brand new. And it's taken a hell of a lot of working out, you know, how life works. And, you know, I was listening to all the stuff you said before you played that record and, you know, about being grateful and things like that. And I thought, you know, those were all things that I absolutely knew about. I was born knowing about being grateful and understanding how life works. I was born knowing all these things. And then brain came along and it was all wiped away like a cloth had been taken to a blackboard, you know, wet cloth to a blackboard, and everything had been wiped away. And I've had to start again. And, you know, and It's not that it's hard, and it's not that it's a challenge, but it is that it's intriguing. Definitely, it's intriguing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is hard, and it is challenging. It's new turf.
Yeah, it is. It's so deep, but yeah, I think most of all, Kim, it's so intriguing. You know, when
you know
the other thing
too about that gratitude is I'm not so sure. You know that you're wrong or off on that. I don't know if a lot of people are born knowing about gratitude. I think a lot of people are born feeling entitlement, but to feel gratitude, you have to have lost something that mattered to learn to appreciate it. I don't know if appreciation and a sense of gratitude just automatically come to everybody, brain injury or not, but with a brain injury, I think it can make it harder to be grateful because we've got some legitimate gripes, but it's just, you know, the gripes can cause us to go head first down the rabbit hole of depression, lose our lives, help us, you know, lose someone else's life for them. You know, there's a lot of negative things that can come out of a negative situation. And I guess for me, part of that survival thriving thing, the fact that I lived, you know, means that it was incumbent on me to come back here and to make a mark or to matter. Because if I didn't matter, I'd be dead. I was there already, crossing the veil. You know, they sent me back. You know, they sent me back. So there's something I'm supposed to be doing around here. I don't know what it is, but, you know, opening dialogues like this, I think that's what it is, because we all process at a different rate, you know, and we have different perspectives based on our experiences, and there isn't anything wrong with that. We're still together and united, even if we had differences. You know, we'd be Stepford people if we didn't have our own unique nuances and twists to our story. But the thing about us as a collective is that there's also a lot of things, you know, that we can find relatability and identification with and not have that feeling of deep isolation that can send us down the rabbit hole.
Oh, absolutely, Kim. And you know, the most inspiring thing in what you've just said is that, you know, as long as we remain open to the fact that somebody else can be different, we always, always, always are remaining open to the fact that we can learn and grow. You know, and surely that's what we're here for. And, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine today, actually last night, it was a friend in Las Vegas, and we were Skyping, and I said to her, I realised that I've been far too serious about certain aspects of little things in my life over the last few weeks, and they've bothered me, whereas they would never normally have bothered me at all. And you know, and it's all down to what I've believed about things. And I'd shifted from my normal perspective of believing that, you know, we never have to take life seriously, we never have to take that nitty-gritty stuff seriously. The only stuff we really have to be involved with, we don't have to take it seriously, but be involved with and love and understand, is the stuff that's happening on the inside. And, you know, it's that growing thing that we get when we know that we've moved through the gratitude, or we've understood the gratitude, and we go to bed every night feeling, you know, today 98% of it was empty. This event, you know, that little daisy in the field, or, you know, that snowflake falling on me, that was worth the whole thing. You know, that smile that I received from the old lady in the supermarket when I packed her bag for her, or or whatever, that was worth the whole thing. And that's gratitude, is you just got to keep looking and looking.
Yes.
At all of those things that make your life worthwhile and make you smile. And, you know, we can be so, what's the word? Help me with this aphasia thing, where you get really stuck on the habit of looking at life a certain way, and you forget that it can look
absolutely
another way.
You just, it's like I view it, I do visuals better. It's like getting a new pair of glasses. You see things one way. You know, if you're someone who's vision impaired at all, you know the difference between how you visualize something without correction versus with correction. It can look completely different. You can take a rock that you pick up when you're out on a walk and look at it, you know, face up like it was, and then turn it around and look at it from the different dimensions. Clouds, how many times do we bother to stop and not look at what's in front of us or around us, but look up
you
at the clouds?
You don't want to see what's on my camera, Kim. today I threw some water into my kitchen sink. And just coming back to what you were saying, it's just so whole for me, because I threw all this water into the sink and it just overflowed the sink. And I've got this tiny stone. Sits on the back of my kitchen worktop. And it flooded away. And I was, and it wasn't about the flooding that's going on all over the kitchen and, you know, how my cereals were getting all wet and, you know, like the electrics and everything. My little stone, because that little stone has a memory for me. You know, my little stone person holds something for me. And, you know, the whole of the rest of the world was catastrophic. And it was meaningless in so much as I just needed to know where my stone was. You know, my stone couldn't disappear. So, yeah, and the clouds, and, you know, I was driving home a couple of weeks ago with my granddaughter in the car, and we were looking at the clouds, and we started the car at times. So it was just one of those tremendous evenings. And we got these brilliant, brilliant photographs of the clouds looking like a poodle dog. And they were amazing, you know. And every time, you know, we went half a mile down the road, the poodle dog changed its character in some way. But it remained the poodle dog, you know.
Yes.
It was just amazing. And to be able to pass something like that on to a child and to have that brought through, to me, that's a pleasure. That's a gift. That's a gratitude thing. Yeah. Thank you, God, that I had that day today. So.
Yes, exactly. And sometimes it's good to make a list and put it in our pocket, because on those days where it's Murphy's Law and everything goes wrong, gratitude doesn't come easily sometimes, especially when you're pressed, you know, at a lot of your challenges all at once, or your hot buttons are getting hit all at once. Or another acronym I use is HALT. If you're already in a stressful situation or in a sensory overload or full basket state, and you allow yourself to get any one or combination of being hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, it will exacerbate all of your symptoms.
Yeah, and there's a list that goes on from all of the things that you just described. And, you know, I've been through this really, really strange, I guess the word would be inverted commas, phenomenon with recovering from brain injury this year and going back out to work and being thrust back out into the real world with normal people. And it's been a really, really strange situation, and I haven't quite understood it, and it's taken a long time for me to understand things. And it's really very much like putting a five-year-old child back out into the working world. And you know, because although I've come through you know, many years of brain injury, and I've been talking to people online for two, three years, and everything else. It doesn't quite prepare you for meeting those people that have never been brain injured again.
No, it doesn't.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I guess the word would be intrigued me. It's interested me, and it's paralyzed me. It's frightened me. It's haunted me. All of those things not that I would associate with who I think I am, you know, because I think I'm pretty fearless, and, you know, I just keep driving on, and I'm pretty tenacious, and all of those things. But I've found myself halting because, you know, people do things to me, and then I'm like, oh, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm used to being with friends like you, Kim, you know, and friends like everybody else out there in our family circle, the family of traumatic brain injury and brain injury survivors, you know, and we're all so kind to each other, and that's the world that I'm so used to. I'm not used to people that think differently, and I've had to become used to how uninjured people think differently, and they do think differently, and it smacks me in the face, it knocks me over, it knocks me off my balance, and I'm a very balanced spiritually, I would say spiritually balanced person, and it knocks me off that, and I think, and I go into fear, and I think, well, I know about fear, you know. I shouldn't be over here doing that stuff. I should be over here doing the other stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't help. It really isn't helping. It's like I really have to go through this stuff in order to be able to get it. And there is no soft road.
No.
There is no gentle plane. There is no kindly hand that's going to help me through this time of adjustment. And, you know, I mean, I really wouldn't want anybody else to have to go through it. But, you know, and we all do. We all do as we just come out the other side. And I think, you know, you've got to come back to that gratitude thing that you were talking about earlier, Kim, and keep thinking, you know, be grateful that you're coming out the other side. Be grateful that you're not on your knees, literally choked and blubbing from the absolute inside of you. God, please give me back. You know, I'm not there anymore. I know who I am now. And maybe I'm learning more about who I am. And, you know, maybe that's progressing, and I'm like a child growing up again, and I'm learning to be assertive again, and I'm learning to be confident again, and I'm learning to be self-confident again. But, you know, there isn't going to be an easy path.
No, nobody ever said it was going to be easy, but I do think that if you have faith, and I know I just want to slap people that say this when I'm in it, but that this too shall pass. You know, when you come out of it,
right,
the other
it
side.
Does. It does, though. It absolutely does. It's not about faith. That to me, Kim, is an absolute knowing. That's what I was born knowing. Before I fell on my head, I knew that. And I lived my life knowing that. And that's how I lived my life, around that, you know. And then the brain injury came along and it took it all away. And then I've had to relearn it. But then not only did I have to relearn it, but now I'm having to relive it. And that's quite a different thing to having to relearn it. It's a trepidatious path, I think.
Do you think you're less patient because it came easier before, and not feel that you should have to work on that stuff over again when you've already gotten mastery?
Absolutely not. I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, absolutely not.
Just a continuation of your journey, a building.
I can tell you absolutely not, Kim, because I know that I know within all of me that who I was before was like the cloth to the blackboard, and it was wiped away, and I'm regaining it, and I'm not impatient with trying to get back there because I almost don't remember it still. I know it was there. It's brain injury where you kind of fathom something but you don't quite get it, so you just keep going, and there's no straight lines in it. There's no straight line in the experience when you've been as severely affected as I was, or even if you've been mildly affected, there's no straight lines anymore. When you have to rebuild everything and you have to kind of take it from scratch, I think most of the people that I talk to agree with that, is that it's almost like a total rebuilding of the self. That it's a step by step thing, you know, and it's like, you know, just because you can suddenly understand the value of a stamp today, you know, 14 years ago, doesn't mean to say that you can also dial a telephone number on a keypad, you know? Too
much. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it doesn't matter the cause. The cause doesn't matter. The outcomes are so similar. It's unbelievable. But, yeah, the cause doesn't matter. It's what are we trying to do, you know, in this moment in time? I'm trying to achieve a telephone call.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I can't get my finger on the right number. And, I'm trying to achieve, I don't know, getting the cheese in the fridge. But for the life of me, you know, I can't get the cling wrap to go around the cheese.
I've never been able to do that. I didn't have a brain injury to do with that. It's that room, that whole room is so intimidating to me that I find it really difficult. So I don't think you can blame the cheese on your brain injury. I mean, the saran wrap. That
I wouldn't actually. No, I think
that's a really weird product. It's a temperamental product. Foil or baggies is easier. Saran wrap is downright, they just did that to mess with people, I think.
I think you're right, Kim. I think you're right. So, am I taking it that you're not awfully good in the kitchen?
No, my favorite recipes are reservations and carry out.
Okay. How were you before?
I cooked some, but I knew when to turn the burners off.
So you weren't brilliant before. So, you know, this is not a major difference.
Well, it is kind of. I was never Martha Stewart. But at least I tried more than I do now. Now I'm blessed to drive to get carry out. We've got a health deli very close by that has some good whole foods and that, and it's a lot easier, you know, trying to eat cleaner, and I'm far off from that. Okay, I like chocolate too much, and to indulge myself, you know, pure decadent indulgence, so I can't cop to that. But, you know, with what clean eating I do try to do, it's it's good to have a place like this close by, because if you go out and buy the stuff in the grocery and there's only the two of you and you get all of those fresh ingredients, especially if they're organic or something like that, it's so freaking expensive. You'd only be able to, you know, either be rich or afford to eat once a week, you know. So
yeah.
Buying it actually at this deli that does it, because they're buying it in bulk, comes out cheaper for two of us. Now, you know, if you had a big family, it might be worth going to the work, but I don't know. I'd rather paint a birdhouse.
Oh, my word. You know, you're bringing back so many really funny memories for me, because I've always been able to cook, and, you know, I'm a bit of a natural cook, you know. I know what herbs go with what meats or whatever. And often I fell on my head. I didn't have a clue about how to cook anything. And if I can remember, like my granddaughter was 8 years old on Sunday, 17th, on the 17th.
Aww.
And I can remember making her first birthday cake. And I can remember, like, year one, year two, year three, year four, year five, year six, of trying to make her birthday cakes. And having my daughter with me, who's never been brain injured, right? And you have this personality thing going on, you know, like, oh, well, I know how to do this. And she's like, totally naive, and, you know, she's not a cook, and my daughter's not a cook. And, you know, there's me convincing her, I've got the brain injury, and then there's me convincing her that I know how to do this. And I can't remember the recipe. And when I've read one line of the recipe, I can't remember what that one line is said. But I'm still convincing her that I can do it. And I can't understand the weights or the measures or anything else. And I'm still saying, but I can do this. I've always done this. You know, and that's just such a huge thing, I think, within brain injury is a friend of mine, a very, very dear friend of mine, had another mini stroke 2 weeks ago. And she had another minor TIA, and I've gone through so many things with her over the last 2-3 weeks. You know, do you know about this? Do you know about that? Do you know about this? Do you know about that? And been trying to remind her of all the things that she needs to be aware of. And, you know, she's lost me. She's like, yeah, I know about that. I said, but you're telling me you know about it, but do you really? Do you really know about that? And she said to me, no, I don't.
Oh,
I had all these giggles and these laughs. And I said to her, you know, I said, this is really actually quite serious, because, you know, you really need to know that you need to rest and you need to do nothing, and, you know, you need to watch about, you know, how well your memory's doing and so on and so forth. And the whole thing goes on and on and on.
Right.
And, yeah, it's just this amazing experience of, oh, now I understand. But she was there. She's the only person that I know. She's literally the only person I know other than my family. From before I fell on my head 14 and a half years ago. She's the only person that's by me, and she's having problem with stroke. So, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she's an amazing friend, and it certainly draws us all closer.
But, yes.
Yeah, but I said to her, you know, I said, you still, you know, like, she went out in the garden yesterday and she thought she could mow her lawn. And she, sorry, excuse me. She said to me, Annie, she said, the sun was out, bright blue skies. She said, perfect time to cut the grass. She said, I never thought about not being able to stand up. I never thought about not being able to have any balance. I never thought about not understanding where the lawnmower was going to be as I pushed it. I never thought where the wire was. She cut through the wire. She had, you know, socks, go off every which way. She's fallen over the whole thing and fallen into the lawnmower and everything
else. Oh, jeez.
And, you know, and I said to her, I said, you've got to remember. You've just got to remember. You can't do the things you did before. And
right.
she said, well, you may well say that, Annie. She said, I can remember, she said, when you went off to Canada and the USA, she said, on a month-long trip, she said, thinking you could do that as you did before. She said, constantly, you know, like, phoning me and saying, Margs, I'm in Chicago Airport and I don't know where to go. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Annie, I don't want to do this to you, but your mic has broken up quite a bit throughout. We've gotten really good. Luckily, it's cleared up each time for us to make a point, but I need to put us on mute for a couple of moments, maybe play a song and let the people discourse here a little. I don't know, between just Skype and long distance and the ice storm we're having outside, things were just kind of breaking up in there, so we'll give the audience a little bit of a break from that. And I'm so glad that you called in. I wish our mics would clear up, and hopefully they will. And I know it's 5 o'clock in the morning. If I didn't mention it before, Annie's in the UK, and so I can't believe she's even up functioning at all at this hour, because you won't see me at that hour. So thank you. I know. Well, I missed hearing you. I missed seeing you. So I'm really glad that you did. It's awesome that you came out on a Thursday night and you stayed up. You had an all-nighter. You pulled an all-nighter.
Kim, let me know if you would like me to come back. I'd really like to talk about how, if I get the chance, and
yes,
it's up to you, you're the host, I'd like to talk about how brain injury can make us really vulnerable. And I'd like to talk about some experiences that I've had with my ex-husband in particular, just purely to let people know what to look out for and, you know, how to overcome some things that are happening around them.
I'd love
so,
to do
yeah,
that.
If you get the chance after your song, then I'll still be here.
Okay, great. Or even if we didn't, yeah, we can try to here, but if you want to even come on my show and just be the guest on my own show, you know, I'm doing Frank's tonight,
that'd be Frank's.
Good too, and we just devote the topic, the program, to your story, because I think that's very valuable information for sure. But we'll see what the mics do and how much time we have left. So I'm just going to put you on mute for just a moment. And for the rest of you out there, God, this hot green tea is good. I'm back to the season, but I think the kettle is about to whistle. And so one of the artists that you've heard before, and he went through a crisis himself, and, you know, I think I saw a similar crisis with, oh, I'd like to kill them out there in the chat room. DJ says it's 73 degrees. We're at 11. Anyway, Philip Zack is the founder of Arrows and Sound, and I will give you the information on that too. Arrowsandsound.com is their website, and I'll tell you their Facebook page. But there was a time when his voice went away, and he had to get that surgery, the vocal cord surgery, where it can go one of two ways. You may or may not ever sing again. In contemporary Christian music, I know that Matthew West went through something similar to that. But this is Philip Zack, and he's going to be a guest on the show in a few weeks. And this song is called Lie Awake. It's a very different Well, you'll see. Arrows in sound. Lie awake. 3 minutes and 55 seconds to warm up your tea.
As the tears are falling from my face, with all my fears I long for your embrace. How am I gonna carry on and be the one you lead it on when I'm falling down? Now the tears are falling from your face. I never learned from all of my mistakes. How we gonna carry on? Can anybody be
had another breach in the studio. Now I can't see any of your numbers anymore. So that's a trip. I'm not going to be able to unmute a mic. I wonder if I reset this. Okay, Annie, I'll do that. Right now I don't know how I'm going to call anybody. I've got a few numbers on the line and no way to unmute them. The line is drawn right across the Annie, thank you so much for being with me tonight. It looks like we have about 32 minutes left. I'm going to put on another song, folks, and then see if I can fix this other half of the studio. This has been a very strange night in the studio. Here I'm talking about gratitude, and I am really grateful I can broadcast this recording out over the airwaves around the world. But for half the show, my keyboard was frozen and I couldn't type at all to communicate with you. And now all I can do is communicate with you, but I can't let you communicate back. So hang tight. Have fun in the chat room. I'm going to put on another good song and see if maybe hitting my computer right in the nose. Hitting my refresh, if maybe that'll get me these numbers back. Some kind of answer. But I think, what will I play now? Well, I think we'll go to one of the ladies in the house right now. And you know this girl, she's up in our founder's neck of the woods. She's fun. And stayed here on that four-hour music extravaganza show with me, Ari Moore. And Ari Moore is A-U-R-Y-M-O-O-R-E. AriMooreBand.com is her site. And this is a song of hers called Do Be Gentle. And I think that's something else we can all remember when we're thinking of gratitude and we're challenged by our demons, is that a little bit of gentle can go a really long way. So here's Do Be Gentle by Ari Moore.
Go ahead and make my day. Go ahead and come my way. Push me to the limit and inch me beyond. Splash your holy water, sanctify me. Let me see God, I gotta believe. You're all that I wanted, I sit here and wait. Now that I have you, please hear me say. Do be gentle with my heart. Do be gentle with your kiss. Forever love me like this. And hey, do be gentle with your kiss. Some others have tried to lead me astray, broken all promises, then ran away. I gave him my heart, want someone to hold, a pretty face, smile, fool's gold. Since then I learned to fear what love can hold. Whatever you do, dear, don't let your love grow cold. And to be gentle with my heart. Do be gentle with your kiss. Forever love me like this. And hey, do be gentle with my kiss. And boy, I do be damn grave of your tongues. Do be gentle with my heart, yeah. Do be gentle with your kiss. For ever love won't break you like this, boy. Do be gentle with your kiss.
That was Ari Moore with the Ari Moore Band. Again, for those of you that don't know, when I met Ari, I just really think she's got a hot, sultry voice, and she has music talent in her family, a cousin who sings in Berlin, the band Berlin, and her sister Pam has been in Queensryche for since it started, and I think even a relative in Yes. But I think Ari comes by her talent naturally, and I feel blessed we were starting out, and now, yeah, that's exactly what I think, DJ. She was starting out right about when we were starting out, and everybody gives somebody a break, so I'm happy to support Ari and feel blessed that she's supporting us. And I really just do not understand what is going on tonight. I feel like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do that I've stepped into the Twilight Zone. But you know what? One thing I want to do, I had been telling you guys, and you might hear me moving, I hope I don't sound like Craig, and God help me, I hope I don't have whiskers to rub up against the microphone like he does, but I had been talking about gratitude earlier. I have refreshed that like 3 times, and I've tried dragging it over. I've got 2 windows open, so I am just not sure. Not having technical prowess, I'm afraid that I feel there's a ghost in the room, or a power greater than me that is in charge of the switchboard right now. It's kind of funny. I've gotten enough pieces for the audience there. If I don't mention it anymore, they won't know the difference. And but let's see. Earlier, I got you a rubber duck moment. I'm going to give you another chance. Which one did I do before? Did I do why did the calf cross the road to get to the other side? Yeah, I think I did that. What did the duck say when he bought lipstick? Nothing? Nothing out there on what did the duck say when he bought lipstick? Well, of course, he said, put it on my bill. Oh, yeah, that's what he said. And what else do I have? Oh, I've got kind of a naughty one. Les Paul, I see you laughing out loud. We are, you know, getting late into the show. God, we're really not. I wish this thing would get fixed. Does anyone want to hear a racy joke? Or do we have some sensibilities out there that might take this wrong? Well, what do you say? Sure. Yeah, Jenny wants me to step out a little bit. We've got one sure, one no. Not sure, DJ. Well, we're just going to have to try this, folks. And then I'm quickly, because I already mentioned the words greater than me, I'm going to quickly put a song on after this and be glad that I don't have all, God, I wish I would have had all of the mics open before this happened. But I'm going to quit ruminating, and I'm going to say there was a papa mole, a mama mole, and a baby mole. They lived in a hole out near a country farmhouse. Papa mole poked his head out of the hole and said, I smell sausage. Mama mole poked her head outside the hole and said, I smell pancakes. Baby mole tried to stick his head outside but couldn't because of the two bigger moles. Baby mole said, the only thing I smell is molasses. Chris Dukes with Greater Than Me, and he was greater than me in my racy joke, but yeah, now I can see y'all rolling around. God, you were all supposed to be bringing a joke to me. Let me do a time check, time check. You know what? We've only got 10 more minutes, and so I guess that will solve the studio problem. I'm glad that I didn't have another hour since this is my show. I'm subbing for Frank tonight, and he normally goes an hour, so I've gone two tonight, won't be doing the usual three, which helps since the board really looks dead over on the phone side of the board, so I can see that you guys are out there. But I'm going to hit you with a couple of these others because I think we've had a pretty cool show, actually. This has been awesome. I'm so glad Annie stopped in. And another racy one, and then I'll tell you a couple that are not. Well, I'll save the racy one for playing a song in a minute. Why was 6 scared of 7? The number 6. Why was 6 scared of 7? Because 7, 8, 9. Okay. So maybe not that one. What about this one? What is Mozart doing right now? Decomposing. Did I get what happens to a frog's car when it breaks down? It gets towed away. Yeah, right. Okay, let's see. I have time for just a couple of things, and then I'll be bidding you adieu. I'll play my usual ending, but I don't need to do that quite yet. One of the things I can do, I have gotten some new music lately, although I know that you like some of the standards, but playing some different genres tonight for the fun of it. I got a new one that I talked about on my show last night, and interesting story to it, but this one is by, what'll you get this one? I'll have to type it in. Nanite Technology, and they called this the MK7 Project. These people had some acclaim on their own, at least their lead singer, Todd Young, played with Tower of Power, Weather Report, if you're old enough to remember any of those bands, and then landed. He opened for George Clinton, Bow Wow Wow, Yippee-Oh, Yippee-Ay, The Atomic Dog, if you're into that genre. And he liked them so well, he took them on tour with him for 10 years. And so I've got one. It's too late at night. I'm not going to play the racier one of that. But this is MK7 and a song called Beginnings. We'll be right back. Yeah, that was MK7 Project with Beginnings, and DJ did comment that I was playing the song Beginnings at the end. Yeah, that's kind of par for the course tonight. You know, they said 60 seconds. I'm going to read you this naughty joke and see if I can get this in 60 seconds and do my ending. I want to thank my sponsor, Lash Publishing. Check them out at lapublishing.com. Want to thank all the supporters, hosts, and friends of Brain Injury Radio. We appreciate the heck out of you. And I want to tell you all thank you for being here tonight, supporting me. And here's your closing joke. What did the elephant say to the naked man? What did the elephant say to the naked man? How do you breathe through something so small? I'm going to close my show in the usual way with something I believe we all have, and that's a guardian angel. Good night, everybody. God bless. Check her out, LEAHWEST.com. Keep your sense of humor. Sometimes it really saves our bacon. Good night.
God replies, yes, it's your time to leave.